Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the first reading from Acts chapter 1. Here we are, after marking the ascension of our Lord this past Thursday, and yet before the festival of Pentecost this coming Sunday, this brief time. During that time, the believers had but one order of business, as we heard in today's reading. One order of business, you know, so to speak. But the addition of Matthias to the apostolic band brings to mind the disciple he replaces, Judas Iscariot. As we hear Peter's words, "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Peter has spoken about Judas. In our text, he calls him a guide to those who arrested Jesus. This word guide, of course, is used throughout the Old Testament. In Psalm 23, it is used of the shepherd, the one who leads in the paths of righteousness. It is used in the New Testament of, later on in the book of Acts, of Philip, who guides the Ethiopian eunuch through the scriptures to Christ and to the waters of holy baptism. But Judas is a different type of guide. A guide on a different road, let's say. He is the instructor who leads in the way of death. He is a shepherd who leads the innocent lamb to slaughter. Through Judas, Jesus is handed over to the cross, to the will of sinful men, and to the power of the enemy. In Judas, the devil finds opportunity to bring violence upon Jesus. Through Judas's guiding work, the devil's will becomes reality. Judas is, in the end, the apostle of Satan, the minister of murder, or as Jesus says, the son of destruction. However, while this is true, while in this ministry of death, Judas is the biggest example. When Jesus was arrested, none of the 12 disciples were acting very disciple-like. Peter goes from chopping off an ear, which Jesus did not approve of, and in fact healed that ear. Peter goes from that to a few hours later denying that he even knows Jesus. Jesus, for his part, did not deny knowing his disciples, but said that if my kingdom were of this world, then my disciples would be fighting for me. But since my kingdom is not of this world, they are not. He is, therefore, also acknowledging his disciples, which they did not. And so even only John follows Jesus all the way to the foot of the cross, but quietly. Jesus on the cross said more. Jesus on the cross was not quiet, but spoke. Every Holy Week we mark the seven sayings on the cross. And remember, when Jesus sent the apostles, the text tells us that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. He has his disciples be talking. He would have his disciples to speak. But on the night when he was betrayed, no one preached. No one opened his mouth to testify concerning the Lord. His apostles were silent. And in their silence, they became tools of darkness. And let us not forget, the devil has many mouthpieces, as Jesus called his apostles to preach in his stead and by his command, the devil does much the same. So often we too have served as disciples and apostles of the devil, called to the service of sin, rebellion, and death. The devil needs his own disciples. Not that they claim to be such, of course, but following the devil's marching orders, they don't need to. They don't need to call themselves servants of the devil. They are. Satan tempts. Satan gives the marching orders. And as far as unbelief reigns, we follow. This is the tragedy of sin, and it is why repentance is daily, as indeed the fourth chief part of the Small Catechism on baptism ends with the question, what does such baptizing with water indicate? Answer, it indicates that we should by daily contrition and repentance, that the old Adam should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die along with all evil, with all sins and desires, and evil desires. Don't be so bad at quoting the catechism like I am. But it means that Satan's will is done with our hands. His lies live upon our lips. His lust finds a dwelling in our hearts. His thoughts inspire our minds and become flesh through the work of our own bodies. As far as unbelief reigns, this is true. In us, the devil finds willing participants for his own work. In whatever ways, in the end, it's doing violence to the Word of God, doing violence to the Holy Scriptures for the sake of and the goal of unbelief in Christ. For it is not the devil's mission simply to manifest his power among us, but also to prevent God from manifesting his power. Satan not only recruits his own servants, but must silence the servants of the Lord. The devil not only convinces Eve to actively grasp the forbidden fruit, but he convinces Adam to stand silently by and do nothing and go along. The devil not only entices the children of Israel to build the golden calf, but he also persuades Adam, the priest of the Lord, to say nothing and go along. The devil not only leads Judas to betray our Lord with a kiss, but he also convinces the rest of the apostles to say nothing for fear of persecution and to go away. And our silence to the truth of Scripture quite often speaks volumes. The devil knows that God's power lies precisely in his word. Often the devil knows this better than we do. When our Father opens his mouth, light chases away darkness, and life is brought forth out of nothing. Through his word, the life-giving power of our Heavenly Father finds a dwelling among us too. And from the beginning, his word has been placed in the mouths of men by his good grace and favor. Moses spoke for God at God's command. At the burning bush, Moses is called to speak. He tries to get out of it, saying he can't speak, and the Lord says, I'm not letting you out of it. But when Moses speaks, plagues afflict Egypt, the Red Sea is divided, and Pharaoh's armies are drowned in the waters. Elijah the prophet spoke for God at God's command, spoke the rulings that God had decided in his own counsel. When Elijah opens his mouth, fire comes down from heaven, a widow's only son is raised from the dead. Likewise, Ezekiel. When Ezekiel preaches, bones come together, flesh is created, and the breath of life fills the lungs of decaying men. In the prophets, God's creative and life-giving will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what happens then when God's word is placed upon our lips. Unbelief is shattered, and the Holy Spirit creates faith in Christ, the faith that receives the favor of God, won only by Jesus Christ on the cross, receives it as a free gift, which we can neither earn nor merit. So it's in the devil's best interest for our mouths to be silent, then, isn't it? To neither know the Scriptures nor to banish the fear of persecution that would keep us from speaking. teaching those words as beloved teachers. Not arrogant know-it-alls, but beloved teachers. And we know the difference. The devil would wish us to not speak the Lord's word as beloved teachers, but the Lord knows his word is so powerful that when he puts his word in the mouths of beloved teachers, he does the teaching, he works the faith according to his will. So yes, we have to talk about Judas, even the parts about the entrails and the guts. We have to talk about Judas, what he did and who he served in the end. Though he acknowledged his guilt, he did not commend himself into the hand of our Lord, and therefore he commended himself into the hands of the evil one. We pray and deliver us from evil daily in the Lord's Prayer. He did not. But Peter spoke about Judas so that he could speak about Judas's place, about Judas's office, because the scripture called for a replacement, you know? Peter says this very quickly, very clearly. Look, the scriptures have to be fulfilled, so we've got to have the voters' meeting. It's not a voters' meeting. But anyways, the scripture has to be fulfilled, so let's get to it. Let another take his office. This had to be fulfilled. For all that Judas did, his place was not to remain empty. Jesus appointed the 12, and that's what he intended. 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles to spearhead the Jewish mission field when the promised Holy Spirit would open it that day of Pentecost. 12 apostles for the whole people of God, from all nations and tongues, since they spoke in all manner of tongues on that day of Pentecost. Peter knows 12 is important, and knows that Jesus who is ascended in power and authority, Jesus is the one who will select the replacement for Judas. And Peter knows the criteria for that replacement. One who was there with the disciples from the beginning, and most importantly, was a witness of the resurrected Christ. They had 2 candidates, both qualified, both fit the bill, and Jesus chose them by the toss of the dice. And if we, likewise, are grieved by the losses of the church, the Lord still comforts us that all things are in his hands, so that you may believe that he is the Christ, risen from the dead for your salvation from sin, death, and the devil. It is for this reason that we must rejoice in the election of Matthias to fill the apostolic vacancy. This reading has a different sort of impact for a congregation in vacancy, to be sure. But it is indeed comfort for the entire church of all times and in all places. Oh, will the Lord send to us a preacher? Still must be comforted by the wider concern of the Lord sustains his church, his ministry, he continues. For when Matthias is replaced, is selected to replace Judas, one thing we must learn. The ministry of Jesus himself will continue on earth, and from that day till now, has. We learn that our Lord will not leave his bride, the church, to fend for herself against the powers of darkness. The same care that the Lord shows in his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, our gospel reading, the same care he continues. He still has. Christ will not stand by in silence, dear saints. For what does Jesus promise the apostles? The one who hears you hears me. It is foundational. It is foundational through the apostles that the word of the Father increases, multiplies, and fills the earth. So there has to be the 12 apostles. Matthias is counted among their number. We just have no record in the scripture of anything that he ever said, because it's not his words that he had to say, was it? Christ puts his words in the mouth of flesh and blood people. Matthias is now the instrument of him who created the heavens and the earth by his words. The words of Matthias are the words of Christ himself. In his voice, the almighty voice of the Son of God is heard by dying men. In his hands, he distributes the very body and blood of Christ. Because Jesus, he has ascended not so that his flesh would be far away from his church, but so that his flesh may be near to his church, given in the Lord's Supper. And he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, not a part of him, but all of him, according to the power and authority that he has at the right hand of the Father, as seen at his ascension. So, dear saints, we have no fellowship here apart from the flesh of Christ. God be praised. So thus, as we see the real presence of sin, death, and hell everywhere we look, we must give thanks to God for Matthias, for the apostles, and for all ministers of the word. For in this ministry, the power of Christ to forgive sins and conquer the devil and raise the dead becomes a reality. He brings it. He brings it about. It is not enough for our salvation for Jesus to die and rise again. It is not enough for our salvation for Jesus to live a perfect life and receive all power and glory at the Father's right hand, because if Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension are to come to us for our good, Jesus must call Matthias. And he did. He must send forth his Spirit. And pay attention next week. He did. Day of Pentecost. He must establish the ministry of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And he did. The church yet remains, even if the unbelieving world is unthankful for it, the church still remains. It's not up to the unbelieving world whether the church remains or not, because the unbelieving world has not extinguished the church, no matter how much blood has been spilled. And so in this apostolic church, Christ's life becomes our life. Christ's death becomes our freedom from sin. His resurrection becomes our victory. And his ascension becomes our sure and certain hope. He delivers these things. He must and he does. So, to be apostolic, we want to be apostolic. We want to be apostolic because we will not believe anything other than what the apostles taught, which is nothing but what Jesus taught them about himself, about his flesh, which is not absent, though he is ascended. Matthias indeed brings to mind the one he replaced, Judas Iscariot. Judas is the minister of death, but Matthias is the divinely elected minister of eternal life. Not the only one, but one. Through Judas, the Lamb of God was led to the slaughter by men of evil intent, but through Matthias, the apostles and their successors, the Lamb of God continues to be handed over into our empty hands, the empty hands of beggars who have no good apart from Christ. That's the good handing over. For the election of Matthias and all pastors, we must give thanks and pray for the Lord to continue to sustain us as he has indeed promised. For it means that Christ is not silent. It means that our Father has chosen to open his mouth, who says, "This is my beloved Son." It means that the Son has chosen to open his mouth, and he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And the Holy Spirit grants us that we would love to listen to these things. And that's a love that then also loves to speak, to forgive, to love, to instruct, and even to suffer the cost of speaking the Holy Scriptures. Christ's ministry continues in Matthias, and the devil can't prevent that. And when Christ carries out his ministry among us, dear saints, then there is the forgiveness of sins. And as far as the forgiveness of sins reigns, the devil's ministry is not carried out by us. Jesus' election of Matthias means that Jesus' own ministry of life will continue till the very end of the age. To Christ be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the peace which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.